The epistle appointed to be read today for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. We have, brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep, being of one mind one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, Draw out now, and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it, and when the chief steward had tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward calleth the bridegroom, and saith to him, Every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have well drank, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would like to begin this afternoon, my dear people, by telling you about a great sinner who became a great saint. We know her as Saint Mary of Egypt. Mary was born in Egypt in a small village near the city of Alexandria in the middle of the 4th century. At the age of 12 years, she left her home for Alexandria, and she went there for one reason. She was going to lead an immoral, impure, and sinful life. And this she did for the next 16 years, until at length she boarded a boat bound for Palestine. And arriving in Palestine, she made her way to Jerusalem. And there we know that she went to Jerusalem because she intended to go to a new place to continue her public profession of mortal sin. But it was not long after her arrival in Jerusalem that the Feast of the Holy Cross was being celebrated in the city. Now remember, at this time, Jerusalem was completely Catholic. On that day, the very cross upon which Christ had been nailed to, which was preserved in Jerusalem at that time, was being carried throughout the streets in procession. And it was going to be put on display in the sanctuary of a certain church for all to come and venerate it. Mary of Egypt, newly arrived, did not know what was happening. She saw immense crowds of people. Moved by curiosity and not devotion, she followed them to the church. And when she arrived at the church, she saw them all going in one after another, and she proceeded to follow them as well into the church. But as she got to the doorway, she suddenly stopped. St. Alphonsus de Liguori describes it this way. She felt herself repelled by some invisible force. She made a second attempt, St. Alphonsus says, to enter the church, but was unable to move past the doorway. She tried a third time and a fourth time. She stepped back. She saw others step in front of her and go into the church. And she tried again. And she could not enter the church. Finally, finding herself standing in the doorway of the church, unable to enter, she burst into tears. And she actually began to weep and feel contrition for the first time in over 17 years. And it was then that she caught sight outside the church of a glorious image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she knelt down in front of it and she prayed, "O Mother of God, have pity on me, a poor sinner. I know that on account of my sins I deserve not that thou shouldst cast thine eyes upon me. But thou art the refuge of sinners, and for the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, help me. Permit me, dear mother, to enter the church, and I promise to change my life and to cease offending God by impurity. And I will do penance in whatever place thou wishest me to go." According to St. Alphonsus, Mary of Egypt received another extraordinary grace, because the fact that she was barred from entering the church was a most extraordinary grace. This time she heard a most sweet voice say within her, "Since thou hast had recourse to me, and since thou sincerely wishest to change thy life, enter the church. It is no longer closed to thee." This great sinner then rose to her knees. This great sinner, who you might say was like another Mary Magdalene, rose from her knees, came to the door of the church, paused for a moment, and then stepped through the doorway. As she walked down the center aisle of the church, looking upon the very cross upon which Christ was nailed to 300 or so years before, she knelt down and she adored. She begged God's grace and his forgiveness. She then returned to the image of Our Lady outside of the church, and she said, "Behold, I am ready to do penance for all my sins. I am ready to change my life." And for another time, Our Lady spoke to her. Another extraordinary grace. You know what Our Lady said to her? She said, "Go cross the River Jordan." And there, she said, "you will find the place I have made ready for you." Mary of Egypt obeyed. She went back into the church. And there, she went to confession for the first time in almost 20 years. Mass was then offered, and she received Holy Communion. And then she left the church after a most fervent thanksgiving after Mass and Communion, never again to return to that church. She crossed the Jordan River, and there she found the place Our Lady had made ready. It was a cave in the desert. It is here she lived for 57 years by herself, never seeing a single human being for 57 years. But you know what she revealed was that when she first entered that cave, and for the first 17 years that she stayed in that cave by herself, she said, "I was grievously assaulted by temptations to commit sins of impurity. As powerful though as they were, I overcame them by constantly praying to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary." This went on for 17 years. Some of the greatest saints have experienced some of the most horrible temptations we can imagine. In fact, St. Jerome once said, after he had lived in Rome, and then he went to actually Bethlehem, he lived in the grotto of Bethlehem where Christ was born for the last 20 years of his life. But he said, even in Bethlehem, in this holy place, he was so tempted by these temptations. Mary of Egypt lived for 57 years by herself in this cave from that day of her conversion, never speaking to a single human being, until by chance the abbot of the monastery in Jerusalem, a man by the name of Saint Zosimus, has been returning to Jerusalem and happened to come by that desert passage when he saw her. It is through him that we know who she was and her life, because she told him everything. When he told her that he was a priest, she begged him to bring her Holy Communion, for she hadn't received in over 50 years. He did. And then he told her he would return again soon and bring her another Holy Communion. But when he returned the second time and entered that cave, he saw Mary of Egypt was dead. When he entered the dark cave, he saw a bright light in the far corner of the cave where he saw her body lying. And upon her head were written these words, "Bury my body here, it is that of a poor sinner, and pray to God for me." Saint Zosimus buried her in that cave. He returned to his monastery, and there he related the wonders of God and the mercy of our good God towards this happy sinner. She is now Saint Mary of Egypt, and although her feast day is not on the universal calendar of the Church, it is kept every year on April the 3rd, the day she died. Now, Saint John, in today's Gospel, records the remarkable events of our Lord's first miracle at Cana. We are all familiar with this gospel. We read it every year on the second Sunday after the Epiphany. What happened? The bride and groom ran out of wine. Our Lady had compassion upon them. She went to her divine Son, who was sitting with his disciples at this wedding reception. And she told him that they were out of wine. She didn't ask him. She told him. And she told him because she was confident that by his divine power, he would save this couple from terrible embarrassment. And although he seemed to deny her request, as many Protestants erroneously believe, he knew he was going to do it. They say certain Protestants say he seemed to be annoyed with her. He was put out by her request. And they say because he called her woman. What is that to me and to thee? But a more careful study of sacred scripture and Jewish customs indicates that when the Jews addressed a woman in the word woman, it was out of the deepest respect and regard for her. And thus did our Lord work his first miracle. He even changed his plan. His public life was not to begin then, but it began because Our Lady asked him by telling him there was no wine. She asked for a miracle, for a blessing, for a favor, and it was done. And you know, my dear friends, this is how it has been from that day. And this is how it's going to be till the very end of time. Whatever she asks of her divine Son, he is going to grant it. He's going to give it. We must never forget that this woman is our Heavenly Mother. But all too often we do forget. We do fail to go to her. We don't think about her. We don't give her the attention and the love she deserves too often in our life. But like a good mother, she is always ready to intercede on our behalf. And with what confidence then, what confidence we should have, she can obtain all grace from him. She can obtain temporal favors from him, provided that they are for our spiritual well-being. As St. Bernard once wrote, I tell you, dearest brethren, if you call upon her and knock gently at her heart, she will not abandon you, for she is the Mother of Mercy. If Our Lady was so zealous for that young couple at Cana to save them from an embarrassment, to run out of wine at a wedding reception was the heights of embarrassment back then. And to save them from an embarrassment and humiliation, she went to our Lord. She asked a mere temporal favor. If she were so zealous to do that, how much more is she to obtain for all her children the grace of eternal salvation? Spiritual graces, spiritual helps. Mary of Egypt was a great sinner. For 17 years she lived a life of sin, terrible sin, grave scandal, public sin. But through and by Our Lady she obtained the grace of conversion. And then for the next 17 years, living in a cave by herself, no newspapers, no magazines, no books, no internet, no television, nothing. And yet, as she told St. Zosimus, she was overwhelmed with constant, terrible temptations against purity. But as she related to the same St. Zosimus, it was only through intercession of Our Lady that she overcame them. By intercession of Our Lady, that is when temptation struck, she confidently and perseveringly prayed to Mary. And the Queen of Heaven answered her prayers and obtained for her the grace to overcome these temptations. And Mary of Egypt persevered in her penance and in her love and devotion to Mary. She loved her. She honored the Queen of Heaven every day. And she is now Saint Mary of Egypt. And my dear friends, this must be with us too, if we will save our souls. There is no one here this afternoon who does not have temptations, whether they are temptations to impatience, to anger, temptations against the sixth and ninth commandments, or temptations to doubt one's faith, or temptations to sadness, discouragement, whatever they may be, we must pray immediately to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary and not stop praying, just as Saint Mary of Egypt did. But most especially, my dear friends, we must pray to her in time of temptations against purity. When the devil tempts a soul to blasphemy, when a devil tempts a soul to anger, he fishes with a fishing pole. But when he tempts to impurity, he pulls out the net and he takes in the catch. In our day and age, when we are surrounded, no facet of society is not immersed in these sins. How even more than Saint Mary of Egypt ought we to be praying to Our Lady every day, consecrating ourselves to her, our body, our soul, our mind, everything for her, that she protect us. Saint Alphonsus de Liguori actually said, "Oh, did all men but love this most kind and loving lady. Oh, if all people had but recourse to the Blessed Virgin always and without delay in their temptations, who would ever fall," he said, "who would ever be damned to hell if they prayed to Mary?" But St. Alphonsus says, he falls into sin and he is lost in hell forever who does not pray and persevere in his prayer to Mary. In this world, my dear friends, so full of sin and temptation, we can still save our souls. We will save our souls, but only if we love Mary. Only if we pray to her every day. Only if we remove from our lives those temptations, those occasions of mortal sin. But praying to her in time of temptation, if we do this, how can we be lost? God forbid if a Catholic today, with the one true faith, if they should lose their soul today, it's because they did not persevere in loving and faithfully serving Mary. They did not confidently and perseveringly pray to her, especially in time of temptation. I actually know of a certain person who was once a traditional Catholic who stopped going to Mass and is now living a very sinful life. But she has said, "I wear my scapular every day. Our Lady will save me in the end." And I told her family that what she's doing is tempting God and mocking Mary. She will not save her soul by doing that. And she won't, because Our Lady will not help her, because she does not truly love and serve Mary. Yes, we must wear our scapular, but we must also pray and live our lives according to our Catholic faith. Please then, my dear friends, take this to heart. Love and serve Our Lady, the Mother of God, and your mother. Yes, wear her brown scapular. Pray her rosary every day. And pray to her in time of temptation. Ever mindful of the consoling and inspiring words of Saint Bernard, I tell you, dearest brethren, if you call upon Mary and knock gently at her heart, she will not abandon you. For she is the Mother of Mercy. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.